Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, guess what? A new trailer came out. It's She-Hulk, Attorney at Law. And we get to talk about it, all that, and more than that, we have no control over!
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
And in our third chair, we have our friend Karen Huffstutler, who has been doing a lot of Bingers Assemble with me and Panavision and such. How you doing, friend?
I'm good. I'm excited to see Miss Tatiana Maslany in a new show.
Yeah, me too. I'm excited for anything Marvel, that is the thing that gets me more excited for the show than anything else, is that Tatiana Maslany is in it. And the only thing I know her from is Orphan Black, and that is one of the best shows I've ever seen.
Same. I love that show. I have all the DVDs. I even have the comic books that came out. I love her to death.
I hear there's like a whole audio drama now, all that kind of stuff. Like,
Karen went hard on the Orphan Black.
I did, man. I did. I have a tattoo design. I just haven't saved up enough to get it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I want an Orphan Black tattoo.
Yeah. So basically, this show could suck, and I would still be like, yeah, but her acting is just great.
Yeah. And we were actually just talking about on our episode that won't be dropping till after this one, about the fact that, like, Marvel has in the past misused or underutilized some actors and actresses.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping they don't do that here. This one looks like it's very focused on her. But sometimes the acting doesn't come through as easily through, you know, the CGI of it all. So
through CG.
Yeah. So I'm hopeful, but also, you know, concerned here and there. It looks like she's going to do the switch back and forth thing, though, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the look of it, is that she is triggered by her strong emotions and Hulks out. I think they've done enough to map her face to She-Hulk face.
Yeah.
And they've had enough practice in, like, Endgame and, you know, other things that Hulk has been in to kind of, you know, prep him for this sort of thing where that kind of character is in the lead.
Yeah, it's a little hard with her and this character because, like, and I've heard some people complaining about the CGI. I think the CGI looks great. I don't like it. I think there's a few things that could be done better with, like, maybe some of the facial expressions matching up with the mouth. But I think that might be just early footage stuff. But, like, the actual face and the arm look like Hulk to me. They look very similar CGI to what Hulk is. I think the problem comes in because Hulk kind of looks like a monster. And so it's a little more okay if he looks a little Uncanny Valley because they push him towards this sort of cartoony face shape and the teeth and everything. But with her, they're trying to make her look like an attractive woman. And, like, so you're getting this little bit of Uncanny Valley thing going on.
Yeah, that's the thing with the comics as well. Like, you know, as Bruce Banner turns into Hulk, he becomes, like, gargantuan comparatively. Like, he's so much bigger. But then when she turns, because comic books, it's a she, so she has to still be, like, right proportions and voluptuous and a female in comics, especially a female hero in comics, and she still, you know, she has to have that sex appeal.
And as the trailer says, girl, your ass looks crazy right now.
Yeah.
I don't know. I definitely hear that criticism of, like, patriarchal look at how comics invented her and everything, but, like, I'm excited to see what they do with it here in, like, a modern telling, because it does seem like, for one thing, it's funny, we've talked about on superhero ethics, the idea that, like, so I think this will be an interesting thing to watch for. Matthew Fox always has this idea about, like, just because you have powers doesn't mean he doesn't like the Spider-Man ideal. With great power comes great responsibility.
Yeah.
It doesn't. Is his case that he makes somewhat often. That, like, that's actually kind of toxic. Like, just because you have powers doesn't mean you are bound to be or do a certain lifestyle. You know what I mean? Like, you can choose your own path.
Yeah.
especially if the powers were kind of accidentally thrust upon you.
Right, right. You didn't seek this out. This is something that you're, you know, thrust into. And so, like, her here saying, like, I just want to be an anonymous lawyer. And we know from comics, like, she continues to be a lawyer. And it seems like she's still going to be heading up this superhero law division, which sounds super fun.
That's what I'm looking forward to. That's what I'm more interested in. And what I think could possibly save the show, if they do it correctly, is introducing all these new characters as her clientele and seeing how she works with them.
Yeah. Or bringing back old characters. That's the thing that excites me. Yeah. Like they're doing with Blonsky.
Yes. We got to see Blonsky as Tim Roth.
Yes, exactly.
In the chair.
Exactly. That's my most excited moment in the whole trailer, because I've been saying it for how many years on this podcast? Eight, right? Like, the entirety of this podcast, since before it came out, I've been screaming they need to bring back Emil Blonsky, and they're doing it, and they're going to let him return from Abomination shape back into Tim Roth shape, and I am super pumped about that.
Yep.
Yeah.
The thing that that you brought up there, Karen, that I absolutely love the idea of, is that with this being a comedy series, they can bring in those, like, low-level, ground-level, just completely bonkers, stupid villains and heroes. Yeah. Those, like, characters that just don't make sense. Like, Stilt Man. And the crazy awful ones, like the ones that have the worst powers, you could bring those into this kind of series, and, like, you know, she could be like, I was told I would be heading up the superhero law division, or the, you know, the superhuman law division, and I get this crap? Like, this is the shit you bring me?
Right.
And so, and then on top of that, like, you get introduced to these, like, super goofy characters, but if there is one that everybody loves, they could spin that one off into another series.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
It's kind of like, this could be an anthology of, like, you know, let's see what the audience likes. Let's throw some shit together.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes I feel like that's what they're doing.
Throwing stuff at the wall, seeing what sticks.
Yeah.
And I mean, you can kind of do that when you have these shows. You have a little more time. There is one shot in the trailer that looks like a character bursting through the wall. Have you guys looked at that shot? It's in the courtroom. It's at 124. And there's a character, like, bursting through the wall. And this has got to be a character from comics that I don't know. But she's got, like, really crazy, like, golden boots on and, like, a black dress, a black suit with, like, golden trim. It just looks
that's,
like...
That's Jamila Jamil. That's Titania.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I knew she was in this, but I did not recognize her from there. That's great.
I love that she gets to be ridiculous.
Yeah, me too. She looks totally ridiculous. I was expecting her to be way classy because of The Other Place. Or The Good Place.
The Good Place. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've always seen her so fancifully dressed.
Uh-huh. And now she's fancifully dressed in a completely different way.
Yeah, in a completely different direction with a lot of tassels and hangy things and what looks like a pirate coat, almost.
Her frill game.
Her frill game's on point.
Yeah, what's that line from Thrift Shop?
Oh.
This is like something like his frill game would be John Wayne or something like that. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm not familiar with the song.
Sorry, it's not from Marvel. My bad.
Be glad.
Yeah, Marvel didn't produce it, so I don't know what it is.
You listen to a radio station that just goes back and forth between, like, the theme songs from the various Marvel properties and, like, that one 80s pop tune from Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Have you been watching me? Do you follow my life?
Yeah, man, for sure. So, what do you guys think of the overall tone of this? What do you think, Karen?
Still, I don't know. I'm still kind of just iffy about it.
Yeah.
Like, I can't put it into words. It feels like there's something missing for me. I don't know what to think of it, because I literally just watched it, like, 5 minutes ago. And I don't know. I think I need to watch it a couple of times or see if there is going to be another trailer, or when does this come out?
It comes out August 17th.
Yeah, so I'm sure we'll get more. And Yeah. I think some of the CGI and stuff's going to get some work on it.
Yeah.
It is sort of strange. The comedy, like, we haven't seen a comedy in the Marvel Universe, and I think there's a sort of strange nature to it that I think it's not an easy fit because it's just so different.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, like the jokes about dating in your 30s and that kind of thing, and she's on blind dates and all that sort of thing, and then it turns like, oh, yeah, let's go.
Yeah, I kind of just didn't. I loved that. I loved the like carrying the really big dude into the.
Oh yeah.
Into the house. That was very, very funny.
That's something that that She-Hulk has kind of always been known for in comics. Is like she owns the sexuality. Like she's like, I want to get some. You know, that this is what I like to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, okay. Whatever.
She's, you know.
I dig it.
Yeah, I'm down for it. But one of the things that she has done was did a hit it and quit it on Hercules, and just like ghosted him. And I kind of want that to happen because then
yeah.
You know, we get Hercules.
Yeah.
And it would fit so well, like, we would have, what, we would be a month and a half out from having had Thor Love and Thunder.
Yeah.
This comes out the beginning of July.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
the perfect
yeah.
time to introduce the Greek pantheon, and then, like, have Hercules be like, hey, you can handle the strength. And she's like, I don't think you can.
I mean, we saw a little bit of that like superhero lovemaking in Jessica Jones, I guess it was, or was it?
Yeah, episode 2 of Jessica Jones season 1.
You have gone to Netflix on that way too many times.
Wow.
Nice.
Who came up with that cast? Episode 2, season 5, timestamp 15:23.
They only had 3 seasons of Jessica Jones. Now, I remember specifically with Jessica Jones, they had like the super sexual stuff happened on episodes 2 and 4. And then they had like her PI stuff happening on 1 and 3. And then like the really messed up stuff was everything after that.
Yeah. 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 I remember. Mm-hmm. I definitely remember how 3, like, or was it? No, I said 1 ended real messed up. But yeah, it got more and more messed up as it went. Oof.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's like they were, you know, they were like, she's a PI, but then, oh God, that was awful. But then life is okay because sex. And then
life is okay.
Oh God, things are back to awful, but it's okay because sex.
I like the interpretation of that rhythm.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know.
Love how that mirrors actual life.
Yeah. Is it art mirroring life or life mirrors art?
You go through terrible things, but then there's whiskey and sex. Like, that's the message of yeah. Jessica Jones.
Whiskey and sex, making life tolerable since forever.
Man, it does look like they're doing a lot of things. I'm just rewatching this in the background, and there's just like a lot of little shots of like different supervillain or superhero looking guys. There's one guy who kind of looks like Kick-Ass a little bit, but he's got like, he's some sort of frog, I think. He's got like lights on his head that look like eyes.
Oh, that character's called Leapfrog.
Okay. I love it.
Oh my God.
It's going to be yeah. so silly.
It's so ridiculous.
I actually have a theory, just to like paying a little more attention. You know, we talked about the possibility of her going back and forth. I don't think she does. So like she goes back and forth clearly early on. And then they show her in that room getting tested and, you know, sending the saws. He sends the saws at her and she's like, it kind of feels like if I don't transform, I'm going to die. And then she breaks the cage. But then it looks like that might be a feral version of her, like the Hulk. Like, you know what I mean? Like maybe
ooh, yeah.
maybe she starts out with like a She-Hulk that is like the Hulk. Was and then he has to do the thing, same thing he did for himself, go into the lab and teach her to fuse the two or whatever, you know, and then maybe after that she doesn't transform. I'm wondering,
maybe. Oh. I thought in the comic books though, well maybe that's how they do it in the comic books, but I know that she maintains her intelligence.
Yes. Exactly.
In the comic book.
And, so, but I think in the comics, she does not transform back, correct? She's a full-time She-Hulk, isn't it? Jennifer Walters?
Maybe not. I can just picture the cover where she still looks kind of like a normal human, but she's green, so...
I think that's just always her. I don't know. I think she always kind of has the at least the proportions of a normal human.
Yeah.
Just real jacked.
Speaking of proportions, the costume. I gotta say, I dig it. I'm glad they didn't over-sexualize it, at least from what I've seen so far.
Yeah. You mean the like jumpsuit-looking costume?
Yeah.
I think that's a more recent... comics, like, it's very close, like, comics accuracy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a more recent thing that is appreciated, honestly.
Yeah.
I feel like ever since WandaVision, where they had the original kind of comic book costumes as a joke, I feel like ever since then, they've recognized, oh, people actually love this. We got to stick the original costumes in there somewhere at some point.
Yeah. Well, they've been doing then that for a while.
Loki and all
they,
that.
They did it with Luke Cage like years before that too.
Oh yeah.
Fool. Yeah. Cuz he wears in the comics he looks really silly with this golden shirt and these big bracers, you know.
And the crown.
And a crown.
A tiara,
yeah. And so at one point he breaks out of this machine that he's in, where the thing that gave him his powers, he breaks out of it, and then he looks into a car mirror, and he's basically wearing the comics accurate suit, and he's like, you look like a damn fool. Pretty good.
Yep.
I am hopeful with the sexual stuff. Like, I want to say...
Aren't you always hopeful with the sexual stuff?
Did you want to rephrase that?
Always hopeful, always disappointing. saying I'm always disappointing.
I was like, wait a minute. Did he just say that?
You gotta see, you're missing the whiskey.
So, that last shot of her carrying the man through the door, you know, like, and clearly being like, yeah, I'm big mama here. I want to say that they're going to, like, I'm hopeful that that is a Behringer of the fact that she'll, like, yes, it's going to have some sexuality in the show. It's sort of this, like, comedy, adult comedy, sexual comedy, but she's going to kind of own her own sexuality, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I'm hopeful for. And you guys are just laughing at me.
Because you said I'm big mama here. Yes.
Yeah. I did say that.
Oh my God.
So there's some power dynamic stuff in the play that's happening there.
Yep.
Just keeps getting better. Just keep talking. Just keep digging.
I love it. I think it looks super fun. That's my favorite joke in the whole thing. I'm just hopeful that it's like a Behringer of it being handled well and her getting a chance to, you know, be a sexual being without being overly sexualized, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
but yeah, I find that I was honestly waiting to hear how Jeff would respond to this trailer because of all his talk. To turn it around on you, to laugh at you for a minute, all your talk about Gal Gadot and
Gal Gadot.
Sorry.
You put some respect on that
Gal
name.
Gadot. I think it's Dote, right?
No, it's I Gal Gadot on her.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, I don't think that's right.
All your talk about Gal Gadot and your talk about Captain Carter. I just thought you'd have feelings about.
Oh, I She-Hulk. Do.
Tell us your feelings. What are the things inside that you want to unburden?
Mm-mm. I have nothing that I want to unburden because I am trying to be respectful. I can be respectful while also simp.
Look, I simp for Tatiana Maslany in Orphan Black as the queer character. And that's weird because she plays multiple characters and she's the same person, but I'm only attracted to one of them.
Yeah, it's real funny. Orphan Black is a great, like, Rorschach test for your sexuality because your sexual proclivities, because you watch it, it's the same woman in very different styles and like very different personalities, and you're just like, man, I really like, I'm very attracted to that one. But wait, they're all the same person. I'm really confused.
Yeah. The entire time you're watching the show, it's like, oh, yeah, they're the same person.
Yep. It's very funny. Okay, there's a couple lines that are great. She says, your things are triggered by anger and fear. Your transformation is triggered by anger and fear. She says, those are just baseline emotions of any woman existing in the world.
Yeah.
That was good. And I really liked, I'm not an Avenger. That's for billionaires, narcissists, and adult orphans for some reason.
Yeah.
Orphan?
Nope. Yeah, yeah. That's
true. Yeah. I know when she said that, I was like, I see you.
I see you, Tatiana, saying that word.
That's funny. Those are the two quotes that I wrote down, too.
Oh, nice. Sorry, I stole your thunder.
Sorry, about a 1 minute, 11 seconds into the trailer, when you see, like, her hulking out of her shoes, and the shoes, like, popping off. Yeah. I didn't notice before that there were a pair of sneakers behind her.
Uh-huh.
Like, behind her shoes. It looks like somebody's
wearing a hard
mugging
hat?
Her.
Yeah. It looks like he's wearing a hard hat with, like, golden, I don't know, stripes down it. Look almost like spears. Or a trident.
Or lightning bolts.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Something. Like, it just looks like somebody who came across some amount of power.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. Also, when she flips him over her shoulders in the next shot, those lightning bolts are lighting up on his helmet.
Yup.
It's the Flash.
No.
Yep. Has to be. I mean,
How else could it be anything else?
Exactly.
I wonder. Is that how they give us the Wrecking Crew?
Hmm.
Because it's a hard hat.
Yeah.
And it was like, the Wrecking Crew had like an enchanted crowbar as like one of the things that was their shtick. It's such a weird thing.
Such a funny comic book thing.
I guess at some point you're out of ideas. Hi, I'm Rubber Band Man.
No, they already played that song.
You just start looking around the room and picking out objects and saying, oh, that's my power.
Call me Dr. Pepper.
At some point in the history of comics, I feel like that is where they got, you know, like at lots of points. There's a lot of these characters that are like absolutely absurd.
The Porcupine.
Yeah. You know, it's really funny. There's a podcast that did an episode, a run of episodes where they were trying to create their own superhero or to create their own IP or something like that. And so they're talking about the value of IP. And so they went to Marvel and DC and tried to buy any character from their pantheon, just anything to like be able to create their own comic book IP with it. And they were like, we'll take anybody. Is there anyone like some low level, like you'll never use him? And Marvel and DC were both like, no, nope. You know how we can use everything. We're using the whole elephant at this point.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's because of shows like this where they're like, oh, you know, we're going to throw that random one comic book guy from the 60s in a hard hat and throw him in to fight She-Hulk.
Yeah, because they know there's dedicated fans that go back to when they were kids.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite comic was when the Wrecking Crew showed up and Thor had to fight them all four of them.
Yeah.
Like, bro.
That's a weird thing. That's a weird
thing. Come on, bro.
But people have memories like that. Like, I've talked about it before, but I couldn't afford any run of a comic book when I was a kid. So, like, I only bought things out of the 50-cent bin. And so, like, the comics that I remember most from reading as a kid are, like, whatever I could afford. And it's just, like, a lot of weird stuff, you know?
Yeah.
There are a lot of weird Spider-Man books I read.
I'm going to make some weird stuff, man. Something that I kind of noticed piqued my interest in the trailer at about the 24-second mark.
Uh-huh.
It looks like there is a like super crazy looking facility, right?
Okay.
Ooh. Like, at first glance, it's like, oh, that's some, you know, weird building, like, sword or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's, you think, like, it's the sword headquarters or whatever, but no, like, looking around it and seeing that there are a lot of like
waterways that go down like that.
Yeah, it looks like a lot of holding areas almost, and you see the there seem to be like laser grid walls on either side of the road. I'm pretty sure that's the fridge.
Oh, interesting.
Oh,
it's not. I thought the fridge was in Antarctica or something like that. Don't they say that in one of the S.H.I.E.L.D. episodes? I mean, obviously that could be retcon here.
I mean, it could be the fridge. It could be the cube.
You know what it looks like to me?
What's that?
It looks like the surrounding area looks like the Triskelion. Like, it looks a lot like those little, like, areas that drop down and the S.H.I.E.L.D. helicarriers came out.
Right. And I think it's that sort of area, but for, like, superhero prisoner or supervillain prisoners.
Yeah, yeah. I was just kind of, like, wondering. I mean, I'd have to go look and, like, compare them. But, like, it looks, those little pits look a lot like it. I was wondering if, like, maybe this got rebuilt on the same site or something.
No, there's a mountain range in the back, and it looks like desert around it, so.
That's true.
Triskelion wouldn't be that.
Yeah, you're right. Huh. Yeah, it definitely looks like a prison. There's barbed wire on the fence.
And it looks like guard towers that on the wall, like along the wall.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Excuse my ignorance, but does Marvel have like an Arkham Asylum kind of area?
They sort of have several of those.
Okay.
There's, you know, the fridge is one where it's like it's just really cold. And they, you know, they have a lot of the like hotter, for lack of a better term, villains there.
Yeah.
To cool them off.
That's why she the cube.
They have the cube, which I think a lot of like irradiated people stay there. They've got the raft, which we saw in Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
They've got the big house, which was developed by Hank Pym. Where
they shrink them down.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. The villains are shrunk down to, you know, small.
That's fun.
There's a few others. There's Riker Island, like always. Yeah.
Just to further confirm our theory about this building, your theory about this building, if you go to the shot with Blonsky, where he's like giving her the finger point, out the window is desert.
Nailed it.
I'm guessing that red energy is like some sort of suppressor to keep him normal, maybe.
I would be willing to bet that, yeah.
Oh, by the way, did you hear that he's Wong is in the show? Did you see that was confirmed?
No.
I believe Wong is going to show up in this, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, I mean, he and Blonsky are like best buds.
Exactly. I'm mad about it for the draft fantasy league purposes, but for the purposes of me being here and excited about the show, I think that's super awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. And it still could be. I don't know what source it was on. It was just it was on some article that I was reading that he was confirmed. I was like, what? I didn't remember that he was confirmed for this.
That's awesome. They should just put Wong in every Marvel movie.
I mean, he needs his own series.
He really does. Because I want to know what he's doing every in between.
What's the Sorcerer Supreme up to these days? I want to see what all of those duties are that he has that are so important that keep him from maintaining seals on Siberian portals.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
That's just that thing that we've talked about forever, Matt. That whole, like, you know, show me every minute of all of their lives. I want all of it. I want to live in that world.
Yeah, and I feel like with Disney Plus stuff, we're really getting there.
Yeah.
I'd like you to live stream all of their lives. Just like, you know, pay the actors, just be the heroes all the time and give me the live stream codes.
Yep. Yep. Just let me in. Let me in. One of the things that this show kind of has me excited for, you know, with her being a lawyer, that makes an easy avenue for us to get Daredevil. I mean,
yeah,
Matt Murdock, or even people adjacent to Matt Murdock. Like, we could get Foggy Nelson. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at that point, it's just like, cool. You know, he confirmed, it's all connected. Like, we got the interconnectivity that we've always you know, dreamed of.
Yeah, Foggy and Karen could show up. I would be really excited.
Yep.
Maybe even more so than Matt Murdock, because it'd be like, ah, yes, more people confirmed to be those people in this universe.
Right. Like if we got Deborah Ann Woll and Eldon Henson, like, yes,
yeah. Give me those back.
Yeah. That's rad. I love it. I'm excited. I feel like there's a lot of kind of naysaying right now. I feel like I've heard a little bit of that about the trailer, like the CGI or the tone. Yeah. But I don't know. I just trust Marvel. They've done nothing but great content up till now.
I mean, with the worst of the CGI that they've had, kind of like in, I guess Black Widow had some bad CGI in it. It's still an okay movie, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember there being any CG that was, like, so bad that it took away from the movie. Like, not like the Hulk with Eric Bana, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
It's nothing that bad.
I think there's some moments in Black Widow that are just, like, CGI fests, which, like, I feel like Marvel doesn't normally do that. They normally have in the final fight. They definitely have big CGI moments, but they almost always have, like, this heart of the character kind of grounding it. Actually, I was talking to David C. Robertson about this on Twitter, of all places. he posted something that was just like, oh, you're telling me because this one face in the entire scene is not CGI, that this isn't an animated property? You know what I mean? Like, he was kind of like making fun of people for like not liking animation, but they like these Marvel movies that have like the entire screen is animated except the face. But like, to me... Yeah. Because of the Uncanny Valley problem that we still have, like, that face can be really important. And that actor's portrayal of that moment, you know, like, think about it, like Winter Soldier, like the world is collapsing around them. But the moment is about Bucky and Cap on that bridge, like on that helicarrier. You know what I mean? Like, it's about them in that moment together. And the world falling around them is just part of it. And I do think Black Widow has those moments where like she's like falling through the sky and it's just all CGI. You know what I mean? It's just an animated moment. And I do think some of those moments can lose the heart of what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. And with the CGI on the face, I am a little bit worried about that too. Only because Tatiana Maslany emotes so well and so much through just little tiny movements in her face, and it's barely noticeable, but once you start watching her in a lot of things, you can tell, like, oh, one little twitch of, I don't know, her, the side of her lip, and you can just tell what she's thinking.
Well, and not only that, but her, like we talked about a minute ago, her playing multiple characters in Orphan Black, like, she is just insanely good, but also, like, all those little things that she does differently for each character make them feel really real and different. She's really, really killer.
Yeah, all the mannerisms. A little fact about that. When she was getting into character for each of the characters that she played, she would listen to a specific playlist on Spotify dedicated to that character.
Oh, that's
while
awesome.
She was getting her makeup and her hair and clothes done. So it would get her in the mood.
That's awesome. That's really, really cool.
That's been your fun fact of the day.
Well, thank you for that, Karen.
That no one wanted.
Oh. I think we wanted it. I think we really did. That's going back to, you know, what we were talking about with Moon Knight, Matt. Mm-hmm. Or I guess what
we will be talking about. On the
we
next
will
episode.
Be talking about. Yeah. What we talk about with Moon Knight in that, you know, the way that Oscar Isaac carries himself physically for each character is different. You know, Steven has a different way. Mark has a different way. So, like, Tatiana Maslany having to do that or being able to do that for Orphan Black, like, that's really important. And the face is a lot of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember in Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness, there was a point where, like, nothing else about Elizabeth Olsen moved or changed in any way except her eyebrows just very subtly moved, like, inward. It's like they broke just a little bit. Mm. And it was like, you knew right then that she was struggling to walk out of that room. She didn't want to leave, you know, for the reasons that made those eyebrows break. Like, yeah. It's like her resolve broke just a touch. Just a touch.
Yeah.
It's a great moment. All right, well, I'm excited about the show. Any last thoughts about it?
No, looking forward to it.
Sweet.
I mean, I was going to say, is it August yet? But, like, there's so much this year.
Don't skip over Miss Marvel.
Like, we can't skip Miss Marvel. Miss Marvel's in 3 weeks.
Oh, my gosh.
Crazy. Yeah,
it is in 3 weeks. And then while that's going, because that's going to be, what, 6 episodes? Right?
I think so.
In the middle of that, we're going to get Thor, Love, and Thunder. And then, like, once that ends, it'll be another 5 weeks, and then this series comes out. Like,
it's crazy.
Yep.
It's a content-heavy year again.
Love it. Yeah. I like this, and I like that they're doing a few weeks between series. I do think that little break is nice. It makes me excited when it comes back. Like, when it's every Wednesday that I need to stay up all night or whatever, every Tuesday, it starts to get a little like, oh, my brain is broken. But when, you know, we come to, like, oh, a couple weeks off, I get really excited to stay up all night again, you know?
Yeah. get to have a sleepover with my friends.
Yeah, for sure. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for coming. Thanks for joining in, Karen. I was really glad to get you in on this, get your perspective on the show, and also, like, your love of Tatiana Maslany.
Yeah. Ask me anything, I can tell you.
That's like a weird wizard riddle. I can answer anything, but you have to ask it correctly.
I will answer you these questions 3.
I was about to say that.
All right. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We'll be back soon with all the things. Peace.
Bye.
Until next time, true believers.
Thank you for joining us for the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. Available everywhere you get podcasts, and now a video version streaming live on twitch.tv/strandedpandatv and available at youtube.com/strandedpanda. And if you'd like to learn more about all of our other podcasts, geeky projects, and ways to support the network, visit strandedpanda.com.